Right now, it is time to bring in the intrepid reporters, David Scribner and Marcello from TheBerkshireEdge.com. TheBerkshireEdge.com is your site to go to find out everything that's going on in South County, whether it's breaking news, whether it's news updates, or whether it's events that are coming up and more. And we always welcome them in on a Wednesday morning. Good morning, Marcy. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I like being intrepid.
Yes.
It reminds me that I should put my cape on before I call you.
Well, you know, we have to be intrepid nowadays because we obviously don't make a lot of money doing what we do.
We don't make any money.
That's right.
Listen, I would just like to get out of the negative and into the positive. It's not a question of making money.
Jill is probably writing in right now and just shaking her head. Yes, yes, yes. But this is one of the things when people trash journalists and trash journalism don't understand that a lot of people do a lot of things for not a lot of money to keep people informed and their right to be
and
informed.
And risk their lives. I mean, not on the edge. So,
yeah.
You know, I hear about all these Mexican journalists being shot, and I think, you know, these people are risking their lives to bring truth and information.
So I always tell people,
I can't say that we do that on the edge, but we certainly do risk our income.
But I do say to people, you know, before you start just bashing the press and bashing journalism, yes, there's every industry that has its errant reporters and errant people that work in it. But as a whole, what the journalism industry does for you folks out there, if they weren't around, if you think things are bad now, you'd be surprised at
how bad they were.
Well, sooner or later you would find out. Sooner or later, people would say, "How did that happen?" So, well, that's enough of my lecturing about people that bash the press. But it does upset me to no end. Let's start off with a story of the times, actually, and that is potential free battery charging for electric vehicles in Great Barrington.
Well, that's right. This is a story that our reporter, Terry Cowgill, got. Great Barrington is they're talking about putting charging stations, electric vehicle charging stations at Town Hall. And right now, the plan is that they would be free. In other words, anyone could just go and charge up their car. And this has brought up some concern that this is like free gasoline or free fuel, you know. But they're trying to encourage, you know, an environmentally responsible transportation system by having free charging stations.
But we've gotten lots of comments on
this,
can imagine. And we are one of the few publications probably anywhere in the Berkshires that allows people to comment, you know, online freely. And the comments are really interesting because, you know, the argument for the free charging stations is that it'll bring people downtown and it'll encourage, as David said, environmentally responsible cars. But people are saying, look, you know, I pay for my own gas. I pay for my own heating oil. Why should the taxpayers be subsidizing people's cars? Nobody subsidizes my car when it's when I go to get gas, or you know, somebody else said, I've been a taxpayer in this town for 50 years, and did anybody once pay an oil delivery for me? So.
Well, I hearken back. Yes, they have. But maybe you're not old enough to remember when gasoline was 32 cents and 60 cents a gallon. They used to come out and pump the gas. They used to give you gifts for coming to gas stations. They used to green stamps. I mean, there were lots of things to get you to go to a gas station. And I think,
but those are privately subsidized.
Yeah, but I still think what you need, what the town is doing is they're trying to. I mean, North Canaan has some charging stations that are set up in various locations in North Canaan. I think what it does at first is gets people used to using them, and then if you see that they're being used a lot, well, then you can have people apply for. There's a million ways you can get money back on it, but I think the main thing is to try to get people used to it at first.
And to buy electric cars.
Yeah,
and that's the purpose, right, David?
Yeah, that's the idea, is to encourage an environmentally responsible transportation system. And a noble cause, but people, a noble notion, but, people are saying, oh, wait a minute, that electricity isn't free. The taxpayers are subsidizing people's, vehicles, really. It's not just for town vehicles; it's anybody.
I just think that if the town does that and they do it for a short period of time, and then they see what the reaction is, then they can decide if they want to put more in and how they want to charge for it.
May be the mistake that they didn't put a time limit on.
Yeah, I think that's a big mistake. Yeah.
Well, it's still they're
still under discussion.
This is still a matter that's. I'm sure that they can adjust their their tensions here a little bit, but I think the idea of them supporting electric vehicles is a statement in itself.
We've come a long way, baby, as the tab commercial said about many years ago.
You're not kidding.
That was Virginia Slim.
What was that? Okay, well, I know Tab was there, and there too. We're making, even though I always hated Tab, but then again, that's.
You probably hated Virginia Slim cigarettes.
Well, I was a cool smoker when I smoked. Smoked Cools, menthol. Let's move on to the next story, and that is I find this a lot here. There's a lot of young people. There's a lot of great programs available for them. The Berkshire Film and Media Collaborative, they've issued a challenge for young filmmakers.
That's right. Diane Perlman, who's the head of the Berkshire Film and Media Collaborative, is really encouraging. She's really a go-getter and a very inventive leader of this group, and she is encouraging young people to produce short films, and they're seeking. These short film submissions will be six minutes long, and
maximum.
And so she's encouraging. There's going to be a place for youthful filmmakers to have their work shown, which is
also to express. They have to focus on a specific. A divisive challenge and a plan to tackle it. The films have to. I'm not quite sure what that means, but the film has to focus on a specific divisive challenge and demonstrate a plan to tackle it.
Yes, it's part of the civic. What's called the Civic Life Project.
Right. And this is a partnership with the Berkshire Taconic Community Foundation and the Civic Life. Project.
Yeah, and they're involved at Housatonic Valley Regional High School, too, and I was involved in one of their projects that students put together in a matter of 8 days, and when I saw the final product, I was blown away. Unbelievable.
No
unbelievable.
Kidding.
They just do an unbelievable job. It really is. It was so amazing. My jaw dropped when I saw the 12. I think it was a 12-minute documentary, but my jaw dropped. It was so well done.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, this film collaborative, this is they're offering to the first 50 applicants. They're going to provide $50 towards production costs, and they're going to make cameras available to those who don't have them, and so it's a. Quite a project, It encouraging young creative filmmakers.
It's
very interesting. I'm always amazed at the Berkshires. This area comes up with the most astonishing ideas for encouraging people's creative impulses.
Well, I think that you need that because you're going to need to encourage people to go into the journalism field in the years ahead, just simply because of the cutback in so many different news organizations and newsrooms and because of the public flack. So I think this is good because young people have something to look forward to, and hopefully in the future they'll rebuild the ranks of the news media to where it once was before all this stuff started between hating the media and pandemics and stuff like that.
Right, and this is actually, I'm just reading more closely. I mean, this Civic Life project that, you know, Diane is partnering with the Civic Life Project, and the money is coming from the Berkshire Taconic. But the Civic Life Project is a 30-year-old project started by two filmmakers whom I actually know since the time I worked in public television in New York, Kathy Taggi and her husband Dominic Lesueur. Yeah. And they are very distinguished filmmakers who have spent a lot of time trying to encourage people to use film for, you know, socially valuable purposes. So this is a serious project. I mean, Diane is a serious professional, and Kathy and Dominique are serious professionals. And so I think that this is something to watch. And they've been giving, you know, over the summer they ran courses for young people to learn how to make films, and those courses are available online still. So I think it's a very interesting project.
I want to move on, and it's not film, but it's radio. And we here at Robin Hood Radio have been around for about 11, 12, 13 years. And we started off carrying a one-hour program that was dedicated to the Latino community in our area. Yeah. And we now host 4 hours of Latino programming a week here with different organizations aimed at that community. You have a radio station in Great Barrington, the Low Power radio station, WBCR-LP. They now have a mother-daughter duo which hosts a program which dedicates itself towards that community as well.
That's right. And it's a mother and daughter who are hosting this, what is called... Well, Marcy,
Mundo Latino.
Mundo Latino.
And Latin World.
Latin World. And it's, I think it's really interesting. I mean, this is quite an addition to our community, I think. And it recognizes, that there's a substantial Latin American community here. And it's a real addition to our life here. I think this is a terrific idea.
They are broadcasting, I guess, twice weekly on Friday evenings from Pittsfield and Sunday mornings from Great Barrington. And their bilingual show features Latin music, announcements for the immigrant community, and special guests. I think they are Colombian, but they are really trying to reach out to Latinx immigrants from all over.
And they will. I can tell you, when we first started out, we had some people call up and say, what's that program that's on so-and-so? Now that those programs, not only do we put them on the air, but we also have them on our on-demand page. And even on the on-demand page, those programs each get between, I'll say, 300 to 700 downloads a show. And that's not a significantly high number, but for being out in the middle of nowhere, it is. So I think it's a great service to the community, and that's what radio should do, is reach out.
The interest percentage of the... of the Latino or Latinx, I guess it's now Latinx, which means gender specific. The Latinx community, 700 people, I'm sure, represents a very big percentage of the number of Latinx people living in your area. So, it may not be a lot of people, but I'm sure it's a big percentage.
And I think that's why the programming that they're putting on for Great Barrington and for Pittsfield is so important, because it is a woefully underserved community in our area.
Right. It is. That's right.
All right. Yep. I want to go, speaking about woeful. How about marijuana?
Oh, right. Well, this is, I mean,
a cautionary story.
Yeah.
Our writer, Sheila Clary.
Well, yeah, okay.
Go ahead, Marcy.
No, I was just going to say, you know, we have, as everybody knows, Great Barrington has become the pot capital of the United States. Six cannabis dispensaries already, and another one on the way. But it's perfectly legal, and they're doing a great business, and it's good for the town. But Sheila has been researching this, and she's discovered that there is something called cannabinoid hyperemesis syndrome, which is a gastrointestinal syndrome that it's a stomach disorder, and it is a real phenomenon that it's on the rise, according to doctors. She's spoken to a lot of doctors, there is a possible serious side effect of cannabis use, and so she's written a very interesting article about it. She's saying, in the same way that alcohol is not without its, unpleasant consequences, so marijuana, which everyone feels is so safe, is not without its possible side effects.
Yeah, everything. Well, for every action, there's a reaction.
Yeah,
and so
right.
That's the old adage, and really, no matter what you do, there always has to be side effects that you have to be aware of. That's why.
Yeah, and she's saying, over the, she's got this little chart about the analysis of 20 cases over 3 U.S. medical centers, and the average patient has 5 years of illness preceding diagnosis. He has to get 5 abdominal CT scan, has 17 doctor's visits, 7 hospital admissions, and $95,000 in costs. Actually the range of treatment for each case ranges between $62,000 and $268,000 per person. So, it's expensive, too. So,
expensive to somebody.
Yeah.
Kind of brings the term back. Don't Bogart that joint to me here.
Yeah, right.
All right. Let's go to the cultural front now, seeing as marijuana is just one step away from the cultural front. And that's a review of the concert by the Emerson String Quartet in Pittsfield.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, our writer, David Edwards, writes about the Emerson String Quartet is quite renowned. And, in fact, I know one of the musicians, which when I was living in Vermont, one of them, David Finkel, is part of a cellist, is part of the Emerson, and he grew up in Shaftesbury, Vermont, and was part of, his father was a music teacher at Bennington College. So I've known this Emerson's String Quartet for quite a long time.
And they are actually disbanding in a couple of years.
Yeah,
so
too bad.
And as David writes, they've been at South Mountain concerts for 35 years. I mean, once a year for 35 years. And so I mean, this is a concert that took place last Sunday, but he writes glowingly about it.
And he also talks about another concert that's coming up. In Hudson and in Great Barrington.
Yes,
That's right.
Aston Magna Chamber Players are performing Saturday night at Hudson Hall in Hudson, and Sunday at 3 p.m. at St. James Place in Great Barrington. And this is also a lovely organization. They play early music, they're well worth attending. They were forced to cancel their 48th season because of COVID, and now they're back live. I don't know whether this would be considered their 48th season or their 49th, because their 48th season, they did run a number of concerts online, so they did continue to perform. But whatever season it is, and they are experienced musicians playing.
Oh yeah,
I mean this is high quality music.
And it's nice, isn't it, to consider these live performances once again, as we slowly, very slowly emerge from our pandemic lockdown.
Yeah, we just did our first live broadcast last Saturday at Village of Millerton, had a food festival, and so we set up shop and didn't know what to expect, but there was a huge turnout, lots of smiling faces, people wearing masks, people not wearing masks, but people also social distancing. It turned out to be just a huge success, and almost like after it was over, a sigh of relief that, okay, that's another step back to heading towards normalcy. Yep,
yeah,
absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. We're very lucky around here to have so many different opportunities to get back into the lifestyle
we're pretty resilient, actually.
Yeah. Well, we'll go on to the your final story here, and that is your writer has an essay about the end of summer.
Oh, Sheila Clary. Yeah.
Yes, and Sheila Clary is the same person who wrote the article about the the illness that comes from cannabis. So she's quite versatile.
She is. She was. She's writing a kind of a wonderful essay about paddling out on Lake Mansfield,
which is in Great Barrington.
Which is in Great Barrington. It's a lake in Great Barrington, what she observed, and one of them was. Just the wildlife that she saw, and it's quite a moving essay,
right.
And evocation of this wonderful lake that's in Great Barrington,
and the wildlife that
inhabits it, and she talks about a big snapping turtle.
an ancient
snapping turtle, and it's a lovely end of the summer kind of essay.
I want to add a story that David didn't put on our list, but I think it would be of great interest to your readers.
You have a minute and 10 seconds.
Okay.
Go ahead.
We actually have had a 2-part series by a writer named Rob Klarfeld, who is an experienced money advisor. And it's a 2-part series on what to consider when you're asked to join a nonprofit board. Very worth reading, since so many of us in this area are active on nonprofit boards. It's on the edge, as everything we always publish remains in perpetuity on the edge. But you can look for it and just search our business section. But it's a very interesting piece on what kind of due diligence you should do and how you choose which organizations to become involved with. So very worthwhile reading, I think.
All right. Well,
in time.
Yeah, you did it in time. The BerkshireEdge.com is their location 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we're always pleased to have them join us on a Wednesday morning. Guys, have a great week, and we'll speak to you next week.
Yeah, and you too.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. That is this edition of the Berkshire Edge On Air here on Robinhood Radio. And you can find them once again at the BerkshireEdge.com.